Welcome back to another edition of Dirk's Dugout Reflections. Larry Durker talking about some key moments in Astros history. Today, Dirk talking about the strike-shortened 1994 Astros season.
1994 will go down in infamy in the annals of Major League Baseball. The owners wanted a salary cap and revenue sharing. The players would have none of it. They declared a strike for August 12th if the issues were not resolved. They were not, and the last game of the season was played on August 11th. The postseason was canceled, there was no World Series for the first time in 90 years, and the dispute ran all the way through spring training the next year. It was the biggest disruption of the game since the Black Sox scandal, and it took years for baseball fans to get over it. But in Houston, 1994 was a most memorable season, thanks mostly to Jeff Bagwell. On opening day, the team wore new uniforms that broke with the team's traditional color of orange. The new livery featured dark navy and gold with a broken star on the hat. It was a classy look, and it played well on opening day for new skipper Terry Collins. The Montreal Expos scored three in the second against Pete Harnish on a home run by Sean Berry. Harnish stiffened and went seven innings. The Astros tied it on a two-run homer by Bagwell in the fourth. The Expos took the lead in the 12th on two bases-loaded walks by the Wild Thing, Mitch Williams. But the Astros weren't finished. A Bagwell single got them to within a run. Then Ken Caminiti stepped into one with two men on. That was the first day that Bagwell had adopted the unusual batting stance that he would always be known for. The idea started the year before when Tony Gwynn asked him why he had changed his stance so often.
Tony Gwynn is probably one of the best hitters I've ever seen. And I said, well, he spreads out a little bit so his eyes don't move. And that's basically what he told me. So I tried it, and somehow I came up with that. And people say it to me all the time. Matter of fact, funny story is my daughters, when they first started playing softball, they stood like me. I went, what is that? All the pictures they've seen of me is in that stance. And so I just try to keep my head straight, and somehow I came up with that, and I don't know, I guess it worked.
Did it ever. Bagwell went 3-for-6 with two runs scored and three RBIs on opening day. On the last day of April, the Astros beat the Cardinals 15-5, with Bagwell going 4-for-6 with his sixth home run and 26th RBI of the year. He was hitting .360 at the time, and the Astros were in second place. On May 31st, Bagwell's average had dropped to .330, but his production was escalating. He hit a home run that day, his 12th, and drove in his 48th run. On June 19th, the Astros slugged the Dodgers 16-4 in the Dome, and Bagwell was a one-man wrecking crew. He hit two home runs in the sixth inning, and then he stepped to the plate against Rudy Cienes in the ninth.
Bagwell makes a bid. Could it be? Win at the wall!
That tied Jimmy Wynn and Glenn Davis for the team's single-game home run record. He ended up scoring three runs and driving in six in that game. The season wasn't even halfway over, and he had 23 home runs and 74 RBIs. The Bagwell Bash of 94 continues right after this.
Dirk's Dugout Reflections continues as Dirk talks about that great campaign Jeff Bagwell had in that strike-shortened 94 season.
Although there were distant rumblings about the possible players' strike, there was a lot of noise being made locally about Bagwell's incredible season. His batting average was in the Ty Cobb range, and his slugging percentage was Ruthian. On July 18th, the young Astros were just 2.5 games back of the Reds, but the Cardinals erupted for 11 runs in the first three innings in the Dome. A laugher for the Redbirds? Hardly. The Astros scored two runs in the fourth and two in the fifth on a Bagwell homer, his 29th. Then they erupted for 11 runs in the sixth inning and won the game 16-12. By August, the strike loomed heavily as the Astros stayed in the race, hoping against hope. On the fifth of the month, Bagwell broke two records that had taken full seasons to set. His 38th homer broke Jimmy Wynn's single-season mark, and his five RBIs gave him 112, two more than Bob Watson accumulated in 1977. The next day, Bagwell hit another home run and drove in three more runs as the Astros closed within a game of first place. They held that position the next day as Bagwell had another RBI and scored another run. The team's winning streak had reached 6 games. He had 2 more hits the next night, but the winning streak finally ended. The next day, it all came crashing down. The strike was inevitable and only 2 days away. And Bagwell, who had amassed the greatest numbers in recent memories, was felled by an Andy Benes pitch. It broke his left hand. All the Astros could do was hope that it would heal fast and that the strike would end and allow them to pursue the pennant race. It was not to be. In 1994, Jeffrey Robert Bagwell hit .368, second only to Tony Gwynn. He led the league with 39 home runs and 116 RBIs and 104 runs scored. He even won the Gold Glove at first base. There was no question he would be the National League MVP. He won it unanimously. It is likely that Jeff Bagwell will eventually make the Hall of Fame. He would already be there if not for the injuries that shortened his career. His left hand was broken by pitches 3 times. He finally solved that problem by wearing a protective pad. But when his right shoulder became arthritic in 2004, his offensive production declined. His fielding suffered even more because he could no longer throw. He was only 36 years old at the time. Jeff Bagwell tried to play in 2005, but just couldn't make it. He spent most of that year on the disabled list, but he was added to the postseason roster for the World Series. He got hit by 2 pitches in Game 1 in Chicago and got a hit the next night as the Astros DH, his last hit ever. In all, Bagwell hit .297 with 449 home runs and 1,529 RBIs in 15 years with the Astros. His on-base and slugging percentages rank with the top first baseman of all time and are far better than many first sackers who are already enshrined in Cooperstown, but most of them played 20 years or more. One of these years, the voters will recognize the true quality of his work, and Jeff Bagwell will make the Hall of Fame. I hope they save a place for his plaque right next to Craig Biggio's.